Hogstein.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hogstie. It is a big show. We have a lot to talk about with free agency underway now. I know it's the legal tampering period, and there's that little nuance there. Steve can, you know, bog us down with those details if he wants, but I don't know if we even have time. Do we have time?
No
time.
It's not that complicated, man. So, first of all, free agency opened on Wednesday, which is today we're recording, and the day after you're listening to this. The legal tampering period was the period in which teams can start to negotiate with free agents on the open market.
Right.
That's all it is. It's basically the cheating. Everybody was cheating anyway, so they just decided. And now people, if you notice, cheat the cheat period. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the signings that Washington made that we'll talk about in, you know, very short order, I'm pretty sure I heard about it like week 16 that it was going to happen.
Well, there's deals that they have completely done 5 minutes after the legal tampering period starts. It's amazing like that.
Yeah, it is one of those things. I mean, so we got to get right into it. There's so much to talk about today.
There is.
Washington, very active, very active. First, I want to get your guys' opinion. How do you like their approach so far to what you're seeing? I know we can't judge the players because we don't know what the results will be yet on the field, but there's an obvious overall approach that we're starting to see. They didn't go after the biggest name, biggest money players, but what they're doing is a lot of like $5 million for another starter, $5 million for another starter, $5 million for another starter. Not stars, but guys who can just fill the roster.
I was a bit, if I was concerned about it, first of all, I kind of like what they did for the reasons you suggested. You know, they went out and paid for a number of legitimate starters, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I was a bit concerned about some of the defensive linemen, the edge rushers they signed. You know, a lot of them are kind of washed up second chance guys, and I'm not sure if all of them are going to really be worth the money necessarily. You know, because let's face it, like guys like Dante Fowler, he was what, third overall, second overall years ago,
and hasn't really bust in that respect.
Yeah, it hadn't worked out for him. You know, hopefully, it worked out in DC. But that group. I like the approach generally, and they could have gone. They had the money to go all out and sign the biggest names, and they didn't do that. And that's almost always a good thing when you're talking about a bad team that needs to start over. You know.
Yeah. Dave?
The first thing I noticed that they attacked the interior of the offensive line rather quickly when they brought in Tyler Baidaz, I guess you say his name.
How
I say his
you
name?
Could say Baidaz. Badass. That's kind of probably what he would
rather
call him.
I like that too. Badass.
Cowboy Center,
I like that.
Started a couple years for them now, right? Like,
right.
Good, I think 26-year-old, so like his best football should be coming up right now.
I think he was probably, of all these guys, him and Austin Ekeler were probably the two like highest profile, not most quality players in their prime that they found.
We can get into that. I might debate that a little, but all right, yeah, go on, Dave. Anything else?
Well, Dorrance Armstrong is the guy that's probably the most intriguing of this because at 26 years old. He only played, I think, nearly about 50% of the defensive snaps out there in Dallas.
Yeah.
And he was very effective every time he was on the field. He never really ever actually got a chance to fill a starting role at any level because that defensive front was kind of stacked with talent across the board. So knowing he's familiar with the system, he knows Dan Quinn knows what he can do, and he's going to be lined up alongside Payne and Allen. I'm curious. He's the most intriguing one on the defensive side that kind of got me the most, you know, for edge rusher wise.
Well, let's start with him. So,
yeah,
I updated.
Think he's technically the first name that came out.
I did update the salary cap as much as I could. There were like five or six names now that I didn't get to because they're not available. But in terms of Armstrong, he's got a 3-year, $33 million deal. And it goes over here. And so he had a lot of guaranteed money, you know, it's $16 million guaranteed at signing, $22 million total guarantees, because the third year, the second year becomes fully guaranteed at right at the start of the next year. So, you know, that they basically it's an bounce to an option for the 2025 season.
Yeah.
But he's got a $4.8 million cap hit, which is a lot.
It's not a ton, but it is.
No, but that's like we expect you to actually be here and be a player level money.
Right.
You know, so I think they expect something out of him.
And I think it's, you know, I don't want to go necessarily in order of the signings because I think we should talk about they signed three defensive ends. And I think it's an interesting approach. If you look at the three guys they signed and they only really have one guy on the roster. These are all rotational guys. I think they are definitely taking an approach here at defensive end where none of these guys is a superstar. None of these guys is going to be, you know, necessarily playing more than 50% of the snaps.
I don't know what Dante Fowler is, to be honest.
You think Fowler might?
I don't know. I mean, I'm saying I don't know. Is he really a rotational piece or is he like a bust that they just want to give a shot at and see if he can reclaim, you know, past glory?
Well, it could be, but what I'm seeing, at least for reading tea leaves, is I think this is very much a, one, you're going to rotate guys. Two, all three of the guys they brought in are very different style of edge rushers. Armstrong, when I was like watching some of the face highlights, he's definitely that guy who likes to bull rush contact with the offensive tackle, push him back guy. Whereas, and we'll get to these guys more, I think Fowler's more of like your, he's an outside linebacker edge rusher, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's his background. Mm-hmm. And then you got Farrell, who's more of a, he kind of rushes that same style where he's trying to get around the guy, around the backside more.
A speed rusher.
Speed rusher. Right. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's interesting that they brought in three guys with unique skill sets so they can probably mix and match them based on opponent.
Here's the difference, though. Cleland Farrell got a one-year, $3.75 million deal.
Sure.
Dorrance Armstrong got 3 years and $33 million. Not only $33 million, but 16 guaranteed at signing. They want him to be a player. We don't know what Dante Fowler got. I couldn't find Dante Fowler's contract anywhere. It'll come out in time. But what I'm saying is, Armstrong is the guy that they expect to be there, and they expect him to be starter.
I think. And I think he fits what Dan Quinn does with the 4-3 under very well, too. Yeah, that's the other part with him is, you know, Dan Quinn loves the 4-3 under still. So he wants to have that one strong power rusher on the line very often. Very often that guy is kind of going to be not really playing defensive end, but he's going to be the guy with, you know, an edge rusher coming around with him. But, you know, I can see how Armstrong will fit that very well.
Well, right now, I think with the I agree with you, Armstrong. I think Armstrong is a guy that Dan Quinn is hedging his bets on to be an impact starter. And I think everything else are just kind of rotational pieces. I don't expect much from Fowler and so forth or even Farrell. But I think right now they are in a position, especially with getting Jeremy Chinn, which we'll talk about later, mm-hmm. and getting Bobby Wagner and Lovu, you know, the linebacking core. So I think they're priming themselves to for one of the first two early picks in the second round to get themselves that edge rusher because edge rushers are pretty deep in this draft alongside with the interior offensive line. I could see those back-to-back picks being used for an edge rusher and the interior offensive lineman, unless they use those two picks to move back up for one of these tackles. But I think they're positioning themselves for something like that to go on the other side of Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, you might be right. You might be right.
I mean, I think we don't know. We're all speculating on how they'll be.
Right.
No, but yeah. I mean, on defense, they've worked hard to fill most of the holes, right?
Yes, because they definitely have.
Bobby Wagner is obviously a starter linebacker. Frankie Louvu, is it Louvu? Is that how to pronounce his name?
Yeah,
Louvu.
Yeah. He's another guy. So he's got a three-year, $31 million deal. Yeah.
They expect big things out of him. And if you watch some of him, you can see why. You can see where this is coming from, the plan here.
Well, he's that off-ball linebacker that this team has not had in a long, long time. He's a guy that could drop back in zone coverage. He's a guy that could go sideline to sideline. He's fantastic against
the run.
He's also
a great pass rusher, though.
He's a great pass rusher. But the one thing he doesn't necessarily impact in making the tackles all the time. But what he does, he disrupts the plays going to the outside, clears the way for someone to come and clean up behind him. The guy does everything that you ask him to do. He does all the dirty work. And it's a guy we haven't had in this defense in a very, very long time.
Now, I've called him a middle linebacker. It sounds like if he's an off-ball linebacker, it sounds like maybe you guys are calling him an outside linebacker.
I think that this scheme they're going to run, that you're going to kind of see them kind of mixing it up with 3-4-4-3 quite a bit, including the, 4-3 under, which is kind of like a 3-4 in some ways. So I don't think he's not an edge rushing outside linebacker, no matter what. He's an OLB / ILB type. Yeah.
I mean, look, so Washington, we said Washington needs an entire new linebacker corps, basically. Yep. I mean, you have Jamin Davis, who's okay at outside linebacker, not great, but he's a starter worthy. And now they have two other, hopefully, starter worthy players.
Yeah, and I think so absolutely start the word.
Absolutely. You have no reason to suspect. This isn't like bringing in some, dolt, they're overpaying. Bobby Wagner, obviously, multiple time, all pro, all of that.
Bobby Wagner's going in the Hall of Fame no matter what happens.
Right. Yes.
He's correct. A Hall of Fame caliber linebacker.
And so they expect big things of him and Frankie Louvu. So they've rebuilt their linebacker core in 2 days.
They've done more in 2 days than what Ron Rivera did in 4 years in that linebacking core.
Bingo.
Crazy. Yep.
And I would also say, even though he's going to be listed as a defensive end, I think Fowler kind of is in that hybrid linebacker end role a lot. So, like, I would add him to that mix of...
He could be. And we don't really know what defense they're running. They haven't made an announcement. We're kind of guessing.
Right.
I think Dante Fowler is a guy, assuming he works out, is a guy who you can mix it up with him. And he could be like the wild card out of this bunch, I think.
I think if you look at a lot of these guys that we've mentioned so far, there's a bit of the whole position flex thing. Not the Ron Rivera, I want to have one guy who can play 11 spots flex, but
right.
Louvu, like we said, ILB, OLB. Fowler, defensive end / outside linebacker. Armstrong, he plays that power end role, which is kind of almost like a defensive tackle at times, when they're getting more physical on the inside. I think there's a lot of these guys who they're not sliding all over the field, but they're going left. They're going over one spot a lot,
And I think that Bobby Wagner is 100% the signal caller.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Bobby Wagner, I don't want to say London Fletcher, but like it's the first middle linebacker we've had.
It's the comp, Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully not last year London Fletcher when he couldn't move.
No, I mean, and Wagner is much, much, much more decorated than London Fletcher ever was.
Right. Oh, yeah. No question about that. And, totally different physically, too. Fletcher was that smaller, big, bulky.
Well, I mean, Wagner's not that big. I mean, he's 6 foot, 240 pounds. That's not humongous, but yeah, he's not.
He still has 2 inches on Fletcher.
Yeah, but he carries his weight exceptionally well.
Yeah, and for those wondering, he is a 6-time first-team All-Pro, 4-time second-team All-Pro, 9-time Pro Bowler, 3 times NFL tackles leader. So this guy is a surefire first ballot.
He was the heart of the Legion of Boom defense for Seattle.
He was. Yeah, he was.
I mean, for all the talk about their safeties and that secondary, which was great, he was the one leading the core.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think they've all been great. I like all the signings. I get what you're saying about Farrell. Maybe he's just here as like a 1 year stopgap. But I think he's high quality depth. Even
every
if
time
that's
you
true.
Say Farrell, I think of a homeless cat.
Yeah. I mean, I can barely pronounce his first name, so I'm just going to
Cleland Farrell.
Cleland Farrell, yeah.
I just see like a mangy cat rummaging around in the dumpster.
Yeah. Well, next time I find an abandoned cat, I'm naming it Cleland for you.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
We have a lot of them in the city, so it happens.
The one name there real quick on the defensive front that I think that everyone needs to watch now going forward this year is KJ Henry in his second year with Washington now, because he was very effective as a pure pass rusher off the edge. Wasn't great against the run, but now he can play a certain role on playing on different pass rush on different pass rush downs. They can move him left to right and kind of move him all around and kind of utilize him specifically for what he's most effective for. Right. You know, so that's going to be an interesting name to watch this year, I think.
You don't have to worry about him against the run because they actually have linebackers whose job it is to stop the run and who are good at it.
Absolutely.
Well, yes. I think they've got three or four guys here, including Henry, now that can compete. Dorrance Armstrong's going to start. To me, there's no doubt he's going to start.
If you look follow the money, yes.
Yeah, right. But you got Farrell, Fowler, Henry. So like three guys in a rotational spot there to all compete for playing time. So you would think one of them is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you agree that Armstrong is probably an upgrade over Chase Young?
Yes.
Dave.
Ain't no doubt about that.
I'm going to be honest. I think most of us could be an upgrade over Chase Young.
But he's a generational talent, remember? Yeah.
Yes, he is. You're right. My bad.
I got a claim. I was the one holding the flag against that, and everybody laughed at me, and I got a claim victory on that.
And now he's still not with anybody. No one's signed him. No. I've heard he's talking to a few teams. I think the Panthers, I think, are the one team I heard he might go to. Panthers,
home for wayward players.
Yeah, exactly. Let him go there and wear ill-fitting shirts and lollygag.
I mean, good riddance, good luck to him, you know. I don't have any harbor, any will, but he was never a guy who was...
Find something you want to do, Chase. That's what I would say.
I don't think he's serious about football. I think he's psyched to be Chase Young. He's not psyched to be a football player. That's what I think.
Right. I'm with you. I think that's exactly what's going on. We didn't really talk about let's talk about the last offensive guy, or maybe not last, but Jeremy Chinn, the, I guess, now replacement for Cam Curl, who hasn't signed anywhere. We just checked before we recorded, and Curl and Kendall Fuller both have yet to re-sign or sign anywhere. Right. So Jeremy Chinn not signing, or Jeremy Chinn, 1 year, $5 million, I think is what it was.
Hold on.
Yeah, 5.1.
5.1.
Okay, I didn't have that when I updated this last night, so.
Yeah. So I don't know the guaranteed, Steve, which I know is what you care about. But
yeah, it is. So the 5.1 is it's hard always, to judge.
Yeah.
You know, salary cap hit just on the number.
Right. They always put out the big number first, and so that's 5.1. So it's not a big contract, relatively speaking. You know, guys are now getting 10 plus, you know, closer to 15 to be elite safeties. So this is like a good value for what is essentially a in the box guy. He makes some plays, you know, he's not a huge playmaker, but I think he is a pretty good replacement for Cam Curl. Maybe not quite as talented overall, not as rangy. But if you're just looking for a guy to sit in the box, he's a solid one.
They need that, though.
Yeah.
And we'd be remiss in terms of safeties and not mentioning that Washington also re-signed Jeremy Reeves.
Yeah, great move there.
Yeah. A 2-year deal, apparently. We don't have any data on what type of contract he got, but it makes me wonder is he really just a special teamer? I mean, he made the Pro Bowl as a special teamer.
Right.
Is he really just that, or can he develop into a contributor on the defense?
I mean, I think before he got hurt last year, you know, which was, you got to remember, it was 2 years ago he made All-Pro and Pro Bowl as a special teamer. So last year he got hurt. He was starting to contribute more and more in the secondary. I don't think he's ever going to be more than a depth guy at safety. More maybe like he can come in and play that fourth corner role if you need. I think he's versatile enough to do that kind of stuff. But you know what? He's been a good core player. He's a hard worker. He worked his way from practice squad onto the, you know, everyday roster. You know, that's a guy you want to keep around. And I think he's loved in the locker room is what I hear.
Listen, so if you have a low draft pick like that, and he's a Pro Bowler, that is precisely undrafted. I'm sorry. That is precisely the type of guy that you want to keep around. I think Washington made a wise move. You said it earlier, Alex. I mean, I think the takeaway, and we'll get to the offense and everything here, but the takeaway here is Adam Peters hated this roster.
Yeah. No, Dave said that, not me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dave said that.
I got to give credit to the proper person.
I agree with what Dave said, not Alex. Adam Peters has done an enormous amount of work in 2 days.
Yes, I said horrible things about Adam Peters. out there. No, I think he has.
Rightfully so, though. I mean, there was no reason to suspect. There was no reason to suspect any of these free agents they had deserved to be back for any kind of serious money.
Right. Right. Well, and, you know, we were talking about it a little bit already. They only had maybe 4 or 5 really good football player caliber free agents. Not even good, I guess, is what we're taking away from the fact that Antonio Gibson signed right away with the Patriots. Jacoby Brissett signed, I think, today with the Patriots. Maybe it was late yesterday for a 1-year deal. He's a good quality backup quarterback. He's always going to find work. That's a guy who will be working until he's 40 if he wants to as a backup.
He wants to, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm a little shocked that Fuller hasn't moved anywhere.
He's going to want too much money. He had a huge contract in Washington. He's going to hold out, you know, until the first wave gets signed, and he'll sign for some mid-range, you know, 2-3-year deal.
But the free agent market at corner's just been terrible.
Pick him up.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get picked up, but that's why I was surprised he didn't get signed, was he's probably the second or third best corner on the market, which says more about the lack of good corners on the market.
So let's stick with defense just for a minute. So we talked about the defensive tackle starters, obviously, are in Green tier and Payne and Allen.
Yeah, good depth behind them.
Yeah, good depth behind them. I don't know if Phil Mathis qualifies as depth, but sure.
Well, I was thinking Ridgeway and...
Oh, okay. You know, yeah. Phil Mathis is probably a bust. But anyway, the linebacker's dramatically improved. Jeremy Chinn is probably an upgrade.
I would say it's a wash.
At least maybe it's a wash. The corner group is what I'm most worried about out of this group. Because I got criticized in our comment section for calling Quan Martin a bust. You know, okay, Curtis, fine, criticize me. But I don't think either him or Forbes is what Ron Rivera intended.
I think Martin's going to fall back at free safety. I got a feeling that's where we're getting back there, yeah.
Probably so. And you got Benjamin St. Juste, who I think is probably Washington fans think he's better than the rest of the NFL thinks he is probably. So I think, you know, if there's – this tells me that in the draft on defense, I think they're looking corner. I think they're going to draft some corners.
They might, but I don't – is this a good draft for corners?
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't hear a lot about the cornerback class.
No. Now, there was some hints that they might be looking at someone like Newsom out in Cleveland. He's like 24, 25 years old. I mean, because he's apparently on the market.
Oh, yeah, they're thinking about trading him.
Yeah. And, I mean, that would be a guy I would jump all over on. Put him on the other side of Benjamin St. Juste, and you're locked down for corners for a good next couple of years.
I mean, the problem is, like, they're stuck with Forbes.
Yeah.
You know, because he's got a first-round contract, and he's got a massive dead cap hit this year. He's not – I mean, that's a really hard thing to deal with in here. I mean, they could trade him, but either way, no matter what they do, they're losing money on him. So, like, Forbes, he's going to be there, and he's going to have to get a chance to start. They're just going to have to do it.
Quan Martin, the contract's better, but I think it's a second-round pick. They can't get rid of him and give up on him this quickly, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Like – they are still going to lose money if they cut it, and they're just not going to cut a second round pick that's only a year, so they're kind of stuck. So I don't know if they're going to spend a high draft pick, but I think they're going to spend a draft pick or two.
They have so many picks, they're going to draft a corner at some point.
Yes,
at some point they're just gonna be, well, we've picked everything, we could either take another kicker or a cornerback.
I think that'd take another long snapper.
Yeah, or another long snapper.
Yeah, move up for one, sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it again, guys. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rinse and repeat. Why not?
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. I wouldn't be surprised if they go corner. I think it's now the weakest spot on the defense. It's safe to say that this is not, you know, a great cornerback group. But yeah, I don't think there's not a free agent out there that I'm, like, jumping on. At this point at corner, is there?
No, I don't think so. And I also don't think they want to spend big money on the group. I mean, they've got big money in the group already. But, true. You know, and so you have to always think about, like, cap balance in these things.
Right. Right. And they don't have outrageous money in the group, but they do have, you know, they've
got some money. They've got three guys making over $1.7 million. Two guys are in the $3 million range. At Capitz, I'm talking about. In Forbes and St. Juice, and then you got two more over. I mean, so there's a decent, not a ton, but there's a decent amount of money in it. So
yeah, I mean, it's fair. We'll see if they draft somebody. I'm with you. They might. You know what this is? This is probably a situation where after the draft, don't be surprised if they're like, well, who's left on the scrap heap we can get in here?
Oh sure, yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah,
you know. Remember, like, when they did that with Will Blackman all those years ago, and, like, he came in and wound up being a starter at safety for, like, a whole season just because they went through the whole, you know, free agency in the draft and they couldn't find a safety.
Well, also remember here, so right now they are at 62 on the roster and 63 if you count Shaka Toney. Mm-hmm. So 67. So
count Shaka Toney.
I mean, technically he's still suspended and he doesn't count, but in terms of play, but. So they've and you're gonna have, what do they have, 8 draft picks, something like that, 8-9 draft picks.
They have more because they have. Yeah.
What is it,
Dave?
I think they have 8. I believe they have 8 picks overall. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. So that's 70. So they're gonna have to bring in 20 more people, and so you figure like 10 more of those will be undrafted free agents, say, and so they could bring in at least. So they could truly bring in like 10 more free agents if they wanted to. Right. They will. They've got to get to 90, so they're going to do that. Yeah. So you got to figure this is not the end. Just we got through the first initial wave here, which is what we're talking about today, but there's going to be others. There's going to be like 10 others or so.
There's a couple positions that they still need to address, not just and on the, especially on the offensive side, in my opinion.
We'll get to the offense whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
Well, let's quickly cover special teams first, because we did make two special
Alex
teams.
Alex is a special teams nerd.
Well, they did sign two guys. They signed Tyler Ott, the long snapper. As I jokingly said earlier to you guys, I looked for some long snapper highlights, couldn't find them.
You were kidding. Did you really do that?
I did Google it briefly. there's really not anything about him out
there. I'd like to point out that he actually has competition because Tucker Addington is still on the roster.
Oh.
Nobody, you didn't realize that, did you? He was actually signed through 2025.
So there's a snap-off that might happen, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, there could be a snap-off.
Yeah.
Snap-on, snap-off.
No, it's kind of like a duel. They line up from 30 yards away from each other, not facing each other, and they snap balls at each other until one of them falls over.
Either that or, you know, the first guy who hits the other guy in the butt wins.
Yeah, that's what you do. First one to hit the other guy wins.
It's got to be square in the butt, though, not the leg or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, right in the eye.
Thanks for that image. Yeah. Of course, I brought it up, I guess. But look, so Brandon McManus is the one that obviously Alex wants to talk about. This is the new place kicker.
Yep, new place kicker. So he's Joey Sly.
Yeah. So he has a career 81% success rate. Yeah. And so for those wondering, he is 45 of 82 over 50 and 72 of 84 over 40, you know, which is always kind of the, you know, where the rubber meets the road for these kickers.
Yeah. It's that 40 to 49 range. That's where it matters.
Right.
I think the reason he was brought in versus keeping Joey Sly, though, is extra points, where Joey Sly was kind of bad at extra points.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say the reason is that he wasn't that good. He ain't that good.
No, he was not that good.
Monster leg, but not accurate at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and McManus also monster leg, but a little more accurate. Not. He hasn't been great. You know, he had some good years in Denver early on. But, yeah, you know.
Do you want to know who has a much higher success rate than both?
Who's
Dustin
that?
Dustin Hopkins.
Yeah, oh, Dave yeah. got it. That was the all-time stupidest move to get rid of Dustin Hopkins.
I mean, he was going through a rough patch. I get it, but like you got it
by his
standards. He was a solid kicker.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
by his standards, a rough patch. He's had a 90%, 91.7% last year.
Yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
Including, awesome, by the way, 8-for-8 over 50, which is what everybody was always criticizing him over.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yes, of course, Steve did mention, I'm excited to talk about McManus because, of course, where did he play, Steve? Where did he go to college?
You tell me. You say it.
He went to Temple. Oh,
there it is.
He's a Temple Owl.
Is this your new boyfriend?
Might be.
It might be. I was a fan of his in college because not only did he kick, he was also the punter. He was like a very good punter and kicker.
All things kicking, huh?
Yeah, he did both.
So my question to you then would be...
So he swung both ways for you.
He did swing both ways.
That's good. That's good. Has there been an approach yet? I mean, you haven't moved in with him or anything like that.
No,
obviously.
No, there's been no approach.
Are also, you sure?
Not yet. Lie. I mean, he's only 32. It's a little young for me now.
Listen, I mean, what's age in a time this?
Right, of course, of course.
We'll see what happens. We'll see if Alex is, you know, dating the kicker.
Well, if you see me wearing a Brandon McManus jersey or shirzy or something, then you'll know something's up.
We'll have to see. Yeah. We'll have to see. We'll find out in future episodes.
You know, you're probably going to get one just out of spite now, aren't you?
I mean, I would hate to do that to Tress White, though. You know, like, I'd feel bad.
Oh, I think you ought to get a Tyler Ott jersey. You'll be the only one in America with a Tyler Ott jersey.
There you go.
Tyler Ott doesn't even have a Tyler Ott jersey.
Tyler Ott's parents don't even have it.
Tyler Ott just snaps in, like, an undershirt. He doesn't wear a jersey. It's his thing.
I'm sure his parents are probably like, you play what? Huh?
Yeah.
When?
But it makes you you make how much doing what?
Oh, let's talk about that. So, yeah, Tyler Ott did not sign the world's smallest contract, just for the record. $4.39 million for 3 years. Not huge, but he's considering he's a long snapper, so he's got a $1.4 million cap hit this year. You know, so he had $2.8 million guaranteed. $1.6 million guaranteed at signing just for a long snapper. So my point is they believe in him. This is not somebody off the scrap heap. This is guy.
No. It's not really going to be a competition either.
No, there's not with that kind of contract. There isn't.
Blows my mind that a long snapper is making anything other than the league minimum.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Like Tucker Addington. Mm-hmm. Yes, he had a 3-year deal too, but he was making the minimum of no guaranteed money.
Right.
So like Addington would have to truly blow everybody away to dispose Tucker, what's his name? Tyler Ott.
Yeah. I do think that, generally speaking, long snappers don't make anything but the minimum, and maybe they get some guaranteed money, like 100K, but like that's about it.
For a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Ethan Albright played 20 years on 1-year contracts where he got no guaranteed money.
It took me 5 seconds to find Tyler Ott highlights.
Oh, did you? No, I didn't actually search it. I was joking. I was trying to play it off, Steve, and you ruined the joke.
I'm looking at something called Tyler Ott is a video called Tyler Ott is the GOAT.
He's the GOAT. Of long snappers?
Yeah, apparently, according to somebody named Mr. McBlueby 26, he's the GOAT of long snappers.
I've heard of Mr. McBlueby 26 just now.
Just now. But this is a legitimate, how long is this? 1-minute highlight video of Tyler Ott snapping.
Wow. So I don't know if you, I doubt you saw it, Steve, but Dave, I don't know if you did. Tyler Ott and Tress Way apparently played against each other in high school. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, apparently they're from the same town, so their high schools played each other and I think one of them went to the championship of their town or something. I don't know, but so they know each other. There's a long-standing rivalry of goatness in special teams there.
It's a small world in terms of kicking nerds, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. And one town putting out two special teamers is kind of weird.
Do you remember, we interviewed Tressway, do you remember if he said he played any other position in high school?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't normally just carry just specialists in high school teams. So it's possible these two might have, like, legitimately faced off on the field.
It is possible. Yeah, The number of guys who are punters who were quarterbacks at in high school, like, it kind of blows my mind. It's
well,
because
like, you see, like, what you didn't play football, but how it works in I'm not talking about like the elite state championship teams, but like right. an average team like I was on, at some point in spring practice, the coach goes, "Okay, who here thinks they can kick?"
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what they do, and they'll bring up like I tried and I sucked horribly at it and didn't work. You know, that's what they do, and so it'll be like a guy like Tress Way. It'll be I'm making this up, but he could be like a linebacker, and he goes, "Who can kick?" And Tress goes up there and punts the hell right. out of it, and he's the punter. You know,
yeah, I realize that's kind of what they do. A friend of mine was recruited to be the kicker on our high school football team because he was a decent soccer player.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, that I think that's also a go-to move now.
Oh, it's oh, very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, go find the middle, I don't know what it is called in soccer.
The midfielder, yes.
Thank you, that guy. The midfielder.
Yeah, go get the midfielder to do it.
Well, maybe we can get ourselves a little WWE ring there and a little tag team with having Tress Way and Eckler team up against Jeremy Chin and Ott.
Gonna get him hurt, man.
Because there was a clip of Jeremy Chin and Eckler last year having it out with each other and having almost coming to blows on the field.
Yeah.
It would be fun to see, like a halftime show, maybe.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say WWE because it's all scripted anyway, so at least everything is
you mean the NFL,
you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, see, hey.
That's what Vice President Aaron Rodgers told me.
There you go.
Vice President Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, please don't vote for Aaron Rodgers out there. Did everybody see this? Alan's not making this up.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
He's apparently being thought of as a legitimate vice presidential candidate for who? Robert F. Kennedy? Who is
this? Bobby Kennedy Jr.
That sounds like the worst idea in the history of political ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I've been around some politicians in my life who may have been on some substances, allegedly, probably. I don't think any of them had that idea.
It's just so out of the blue. Where'd that come from?
Yeah. I don't know what Bobby Kennedy is doing. I really don't.
Neither does Bobby Kennedy.
No, he doesn't. Well, I know what he's doing. He's doing steroids. Have you seen the guy?
He's pretty buff, dude. Maybe Washington needs to sign him.
Yeah. Yeah. Signed him.
Well, we still need a left tackle.
We do. Yeah,
well, let's get to that.
Yeah, let's talk some offense, guys.
Got distracted there for a minute.
Honestly, that is the biggest surprise to me of this offseason so far is that they haven't brought in a left tackle.
The biggest surprise to me is that Andy Wiley is still on the roster.
Well, that's a surprise.
That's the biggest. So honestly, I couldn't imagine why they kept him. And seriously, they could cut him at a savings.
I would love to help you out with that, get some sort of a bright spot on that, but I've got nothing.
You got nothing. Yeah, you're only doing the show, Dave.
The only logical reason is they look at the contract and they say, well, it just doesn't make financial sense right now.
It does make financial sense. He's got a $9.4 million cap hit and a $7.8 million dead cap pre-June 1, and they could do him post-June.
Right, so you save $1.5 million-ish, right?
Yes, you save $1.5 million, yes, precisely. And if you did it as a post-June 1 thing, you'd save $4 million.
Right, so technically you could also wait till June 1 to do that, right?
Yeah, like, but they do those early, and it just becomes legally effective.
I'm just saying maybe they're like not in a rush because of the cap thing.
But they cut
Agree with it.
They cut Gates with a bunch of dead money.
Yeah.
They cut Logan Thomas with a bunch of dead money. They could have done the same thing to Wiley, and they didn't. And I don't understand how that guy – does he have naked pictures of Adam Peters or something?
The only thing I can think of is right now they have zero behind him, zero viable right tackle options.
Right.
And they want to ensure they get someone like a Morgan from Auburn or someone that will get down to him in the second round or trade up for – in the back end of the first, he gets someone for that position and wait to see what kind of veterans might be cut later on. That's the only thing I can think of on why he's still on there.
Would you like to hear the tackle group, everybody? Let's talk about this. We'll go in alphabetical order because I don't honestly know how to rank and order these guys. Alex Akinbulu,
right?
Mason Brooks, Braden Daniels, Trenton Scott, and Andrew Wiley. That is currently Washington's tackle group.
It's not a pretty
absolutely
picture.
Brutal.
It's crazy. Yeah. So I think it's 100% guaranteed that the second round pick is going to be a tackle. How can they not?
Yeah. I mean, everyone keeps talking about them trading back up into the first. I don't see them having the ammunition to get up into the first to get, like, an elite starting rookie tackle. Like, those guys are all going to be gone by, what, 10? Yeah.
In top 15, they'll be gone. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Like, if you're like, well, we can package 2 seconds to get up to a first. No, that's not. It takes more than that to get up to a first now, I
think what we've seen of these signings is that I'm 100% convinced now that the quarterback is with the second pick and the second round is going to be a tackle.
So you don't think that they're going for Marcus Mariota as their starter this year?
I do not.
That's an interesting signing. Dave, I know you read a lot into it.
I don't read too much into it. What's your read on it, Dave?
For the Mariota?
Mariota. Yeah. Let's move to Mariota.
Well, the Mariota, I looked at that and I was thinking, you know, well, maybe that's kind of paving the way for what their ultimate decision is probably leaning more toward Jaden Daniels than it would be with May, because whatever offense you want to run with Jaden Daniels, Mariota would be able to run, you know, as you bring Jaden Daniels into the mold if you want to start Mariota at the beginning of the year or whatever, because May isn't cut the same cloth as Mariota in that sense. And on top of that, Mariota isn't anywhere near the kind of quarterback that May is going to be in terms of a pure pocket passer. So if you're going to be building an offense around May, and if he's not ready to start, why would you throw someone like Mariota in there to start the season if he wasn't ready? Now, if you have an offense designed for Jaden Daniels, which is going to be a little bit more in terms of using his athletic ability, you know, then Mariota makes a little more sense that way. I'm not a big fan of Mariota anyway, to begin with, either way. I would have much rather just stuck with Sam Howell over anybody else. But
I mean, Mariota's body type is actually more like Drake May than Jaden Daniels, though.
Yeah,
Jaden Daniels is a stick figure. I mean, Mariota's 6'4", 220.
No, I get the body type, sure. But in terms of play and quarterback play, I mean, he doesn't have anywhere near the kind of arm talent that Drake May even has to run any type of offense that May has, in my opinion, anyway.
We're going to go into quarterback once I finish it, but I've got problems with Drake May. I mean, Washington should not draft him with the number 2.
You are not. You're not the only one.
No. I've done a deep dive into his film now. He is so inconsistent. You know, it's they would really be doing themselves a disservice by drafting Drake May at 2. There, you got me to talk about it a little bit, Dave.
we squeezed some, you know, water from the stone there.
Well, you know what? I baited the hook and it worked. It was great.
Good job.
I had to give you something. You've been asking me for like 3 weeks what I thought. I had to give you something.
And you know what? You know what? You just confirmed with everybody else in the most part.
I haven't looked at any comments on it.
No.
I just do my own study.
No, I know.
I don't think it's universal, but I am seeing more and more of that, what you're talking about. Mm. All right. So, look, I think we all agree. Mariota's not here to be the starter. He's probably here maybe to play a couple games if your quarterback's not
backup. That's what he
ready.
Is.
He's a veteran backup, really.
I don't read quite as much into it as what Dave is. I get where you're going with it, but I don't know if they thought that much through it, really. I mean, I think they probably just like Mariota as a quarterback, and hey, here's a backup veteran, and there you go.
From all accounts, he's a very smart quarterback, which is what you want your veteran to be around rookies. He's a pro's pro type. So, like, it makes a lot of sense in that respect.
And I see it somewhat where, you know, if you have Jaden Daniels in there,
right,
you want the backup to kind of be able to be better formed to run that same offense. I mean, I get it. I just don't know if I give him that much credit to have thought that all the way through like that. That's
to me, he's not as much of a runner as a Jaden Daniels would be.
Well, he's not, but who is?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, he would fit Caleb Williams too. He fits what Sam Howell does a lot. You know, I think he's very similar to all of those guys. But you know, this is not, we're not going to focus on Mariota that much, because again, he maybe will start 2 or 3 games.
Well, we've got an all Marcus Mariota special coming up. That's an hour and a half of just talking Mariota. I didn't tell you guys that.
We're at the 45 minute mark.
We have another. Do another special Marcus Mariota episode.
Okay.
You know what? I think I'm on vacation that week too. So
I didn't even tell you what week it is.
It doesn't matter. I'm on vacation that week.
You just said my favorite excuse in the world. My favorite excuse in the world is I'm busy that day. Yeah. It's like, you want me to go do this? I'm busy that day. I didn't tell you what day it is. I'm still busy that day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all busy that day. Steve's going to monocast Mariota hour.
I'll do a solo hour and a half on Marcus Mariota. I'll just babble for 90 minutes.
Right. So we did talk about that they signed the Cowboys center, Tyler Biadasz.
Biadasz?
Biadasz. They also signed
Biadasz.
Yeah, it's a very tricky name.
Is he Polish?
That
sounds
kind of
Polish, doesn't it?
I like Biadasz. What is Nick Allegretti? Is that? Are we saying that's Italian?
Which one? That's definitely Italian.
Yeah, Allegretti. Yeah. So that's the other signing so far on the offensive line. And
okay, so wait, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but so I Googled pronunciation of Tyler Biadasz.
Yeah.
And it's the first hit that came up, which is Wikipedia, which is always right, is Biadasz.
Biadasz. Tyler Biadasz.
According to Wikipedia, it's Biadasz.
The classic silent Z on the end of it.
Well, it's kind of like Brett Favre. When, Favre is actually spelled differently than it's pronounced. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. That classic something about Mary joke. Brett Favre. there's also a guy who's not having a good day. Good couple of days as an ex-Packers
quarterback. Brett Favre? What happened to Brett Favre?
Well, he's still in trouble for stealing money from...
Oh, still? Yeah. Did something in particular happened? That's what I was asking.
No, nothing new. But
okay,
ex-Green Bay quarterbacks, not great people.
Apparently not.
Apparently. Something in the cold, I think, makes them crazy. but back to the offense. So they did sign a guard, kind of a career backup in Kansas City. Some people are saying the money is like borderline start. I don't know if he's necessarily going to start, but I think he gives them good competition as a starter.
Well, Nick Allegretti has a decent contract, but
the bank.
I mean, it's 3 years, $16 million, but he only had $9 million guaranteed at signing, which is 60%, $3.5 million cap hit. So it's not free, but that's not huge money. To where they're kind of stuck with him and force him to play. They really don't have anybody with huge money on the roster right now in terms of
O-line. No.
No. In terms of the guard and center group, they don't.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what he's got is what I would call that kind of like starter high-end backup kind of contract.
I mean, I don't know anything about him. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I've watched Tyler, Allegretti film, but he is a career backup for sure. Not kind of. He's definitely a career backup in Kansas City. Only started 13 games in 5 years. So, I mean, it sounds like the coaching staff has seen something in him that none of us would know, like it's sort of like Robbie Duncan or somebody.
Right.
You know?
I did watch the Kelsey brothers apparently were talking about him leaving and that they were like praising him as a teammate. So, whatever that's worth, he's a good in the locker room guy. That's always, you want that.
The one thing I came across when there was someone talking about him, I take it with a grain of salt, of course, but is that before he actually tore his owner, I think his owner ligament, his elbow, right? Before he tore that, he was starting like five games prior to that. He was starting that year, and he was actually one of the best interior linemen on the team in terms of pressure rates let up or whatever. They didn't talk about numbers per se, but in terms of effectiveness and starting in that role, he was actually playing very, very well and playing at a relatively high level for Kansas City at the time. So maybe he was turning a corner in his career or something like that, and they see something in that maybe. I don't know. But I didn't go follow up on deep numbers on him, so I really don't know for sure exactly.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
He's better than what we got. That's all that matters right now.
Which is
right.
Nobody. I mean, they need five new linemen. I mean, I know it seems like some of our fan base is like all over Sam Cosmi for some reason. I mean, he's okay. He's not going to blow any. He's not the next all pro out there.
If you put good right tackle next to him, I think he's fine. But that's
you the list of tackles.
I know. That's the problem. We don't have a very good right tackle right now.
I still think I would not bank on drafting a tackle. If I were a GM, I would be trying to get one of these veteran free agent left tackles in here just in case.
I think they're banking on drafting a tackle. I don't disagree with you, but I think that's what they're banking on.
It's such a big risk. Like, you don't never know how the draft's going to fall. It's such a risk.
I still think the tackle that they do draft will be a right tackle. I think either Tyron Smith or Jonas Smith, I think his name is, or Trent Brown from New England. One of those three, I think we bring in here.
It would have to be by default a right tackle, just because unless they choose to spend the number two overall pick on a tackle, which would be stupid.
Right.
And I did see that the left tackle for the Cardinals is getting cut, but he's got a leg injury right now, so he.
I mean, they gotta do something. ACL. I mean, because they literally don't have a starting quality left tackle on the roster at all. They don't even have a starting right tackle on the roster. They just have a guy who's making a lot of money.
Yep.
Now, if they wanted to bring in a DJ Humphreys and hope he got healthy, great. But you're going to need somebody to be there until he's there.
Right.
You know, like, you can't bank on, especially with a rookie quarterback, it seems very risky.
I'm just telling you, I think they have to be thinking tackle in round two. There's one name
that I'm kind of hoping they can kind of inquire about, and that's Slater and out with the Chargers, because right now they're like 25 million under the cap. Chargers are in beautiful position to draft an elite left tackle in this draft, and they need to get rid of some more cap money. So I mean, dangle a second round pick, one of the later second round picks for someone like that, or like a third and a few fifth or something like that, and try to get him off of there.
That would be
fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave's talking about Rashawn Slater.
Yes.
You know, first round draft pick, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 3 years ago. Did they cut him?
No. He's still on the roster. It's the fact that they're 25 million under the cap. They got them releasing Mike Williams, who would be a nice big body receiver to bring in if we ever think about that one. But I'm just talking about going out there and offering a trade to try to say.
Oh, you know, a trade. Hey, I was going to say,
trade wise.
Okay. Yeah.
You threw me there for a minute.
I thought I led with trade. My bad.
No, you mentioned trade, but yeah.
Okay.
So speaking of the, I keep wanting to say San Diego, the LA Chargers, Austin Eckler coming in to replace Gibson. That is an interesting move. I think a lot of people get concerned about the age, right? He's 29, which is old in running back years. Makes him a senior citizen there.
By running back terms, at least.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And just to be fair, he's about to turn 29, to be clear.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. But definitely overall a huge upgrade over Gibson as far as that kind of scat back receiving, receiving running back kind of guy. And we all knew Gibson was going, right? No, like, I don't think anyone ever alluded to him sticking around.
Here's my problem. He really fell off last year.
He did. No question.
Well, he also got hurt last year. He was playing injured most of the year.
Fair enough. But he still fell off.
Right.
And he's now got how many carries does he have? He's got 999 carries in seven seasons. So he's an improvement over Gibson, and they're also looking for a guy who can catch.
Yes.
And that's definitely Eckler. You mentioned this several weeks ago, Dave, that, if they want a guy to replace Curtis Samuel, this is probably the guy. So I give you credit for that. You pointed this out. And so they do want that. But I think certainly Eckler is the best they have at kind of meeting all the boxes, best guy they brought in, like, meeting all the boxes. And to be honest, I mean, they didn't pay him a huge amount of money, but they paid him a little bit of money. It's a 2-year deal, $8.43 million.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing about Eckler as a receiver is he is almost exclusively a screen guy. Like, if you look
at... Yeah, but
that's
okay. That's okay.
No, it's absolutely okay. It's what he does. If you look at his yards after catch versus his overall yardage every year, it's almost identical. Every catch is behind the line of scrimmage, basically. It's kind of wild. And, so that's his game. That's what you're going to bring him in for, is to set up those kind of plays. Here's what, you know what he reminds me a lot of, though, is he's very Darren Sproles-like in that he's that smaller back who's carved out that nice role for himself.
He's a lot bigger than Darren Sproles,
Oh, yeah, Sproles was a hobbit, but...
Yeah.
He's not a big guy, Eckler.
And by the way, Eckler's contract is basically 1 year with an option, more or less.
Right.
Just the way it's structured, I mean... he's got a $1.5 million cap in 2025. They could cut him at a big savings if they wanted. So it's basically a one-year tryout.
Yeah. And I can't imagine him being the feature running back. He averaged 3.5 yards a carry last year. Granted, I did say, he was playing injured last year, but still.
That's what makes me nervous is that.
So that's kind of telling me that there might be an open competition between Robinson Jr. and Rodriguez. And if Rodriguez is any bit of the running back that you talk about him being, you could very well see this being more of a Rodriguez and Eckler show, unless Robinson really kind of, bring the game up.
I've been saying it for months. Yep. I think Rodriguez is the best running back they have. He didn't get a ton of carries last year, but he looked better than Robinson, I think. The fans are kind of in love with Robinson because of his story and all of that. But his level of success with more carries, to be fair, has not been that of Robinson or of Rodriguez.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it is a definite open competition. I still think they probably also grab somebody in the draft at running back, too. I know it's not a great
correct
class. But it's
not a great class. In fact, I'll be covering that for next week's article.
Yeah.
My initial take is they have some nice receiving backs in this draft. Mm-hmm. In terms of like powerhouse workhorse type running backs, you can carry the ball 15, 20 times a game. I'm sure there's a couple, but I don't think it's really top end loaded at all in this draft.
Just to go over it. So Rodriguez last year as a rookie had 51 carries and averaged 4.8 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not a huge sample size, but on the other hand, Robinson is in two seasons averaged 4 yards a carry, 4.0 yards per carry, 3.9 as a rookie and 4.1 last year. Not great. That's not going to get you the job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Would anyone be upset if Eckler ended up somehow winning this out and being the starter?
No, they're paying him way more money, than the other two.
Right. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I think it's going to be a rotation, though, just given his numbers last year and how they were kind of down.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been a rotation if, they'd brought in Derrick Henry.
Right.
For example, the Ravens, for some reason, paid Derrick Henry $20 million, which is nuts. But, you bring a guy like that and you got to play. He's the starter.
Yeah.
Right.
But, Austin Eckler at $8 million? Nah.
Yeah. You bring in Henry. You bring in Saquon. There were a lot of big running backs that, moved around this year.
Speaking of Saquon, I mean, everybody saw he defected from the Giants over to the Eagles.
Oh, can we talk about the weird Tiki Barber beef he had with that?
I don't know what happened. I didn't see this.
Tiki Barber jokingly wrote "You're dead to me" after Saquon signed with the Eagles on Twitter, and Saquon Barkley went off on him. Like, he apparently was like, "You never supported me as a ex-player with the team," and just really upset with Tiki Barber. Apparently, it's crazy.
This is why everybody needs to get off Twitter.
Right. Also, why do you care what Tiki Barber thinks of
you? Who the hell cares what Tiki Barber thinks?
Right.
And besides, most Giants fans don't care what Tiki Barber says anyway.
Right.
Really? To be honest, they don't like him?
Nah, ever since what was it that year? I forget exactly what it was, but he came off with a real You know, it's just, you know, this city and this town, these fans aren't worth it for me to put my body on the line type of, like, a mentality. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like a Ricky Walters type of statement he had for Philly. But it was something along those lines, and it really drove. And it was a year before they actually won the Super Bowl, because when Tiki Barber was gone, that was one thing that the fans were all kind of like pointing and going, "Hey, well, see, there you go, right there. You know, you should have stuck with the team a little longer or whatever." And
well, so he did have the whole
beef exactly.
He didn't have that great of a career for a long time. Remember, he was like Mr. Fumble with them too.
Yeah,
like Tiki Barber was looked at as a bust until Coughlin came in and said, "You know, there's this thing called 3 points of contact, and hold the ball here," and that fixed it for him. But
right. Okay, so fumbles. In 2000, he had 9 fumbles that year.
Yeah.
And then he had a string of them, 9, 8, 9, and 9 from 2000 to 2003.
Yes, he was kind of known for that for a while.
And then it got a little better after that.
Yeah.
But listen, I mean, he averaged for a career 4.7 yards per carry and, you know, on more than 2,200 carries. So yeah. He was legit. It's just the fumbling. Sure. I had forgotten all what you were talking about, Dave. I guess I remember at the time.
I remember him getting kicked off of GMA, because he was having an affair with somebody, or
I do remember that. Yeah, but that wasn't a football thing.
No. Right. That was just standard celebrity having an affair with an intern thing.
Yeah, something like along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember him pissing off New York though. Did he say? Yeah. Chicago pizza's better or some nonsense. Like, if you ever want to piss off a New Yorker, just talk about deep dish pizza being great. It's very.
It's not that hard to piss off a New Yorker.
No, they do wake up a little upset.
well, look where they have to live.
Yeah, it's rough.
Blame them.
Rough up there, man.
Yeah.
Eckler signing. Overall, what do you guys think? Eckler signing, pretty happy with it.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, any?
No, I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I still like to see a more reliable every down back to come in there in terms of.
But who was that going to be, though? But, you know, who was that going to be?
Oh, I had no idea.
That's what I mean. I mean, there wasn't like, unless you were going to spend the big money on Derrick Henry, which would have been stupid, or Saquon, I mean, you weren't. I think they got the payment they maybe. Certainly one of the top of the bunch that they could have realistically got without spending gigantic, you know.
Even Saquon, money. I wouldn't have loved that move.
Saquon never was the same after his injury, his knee problem.
The only guy I kind of liked was DeAndre Swift as far as free agents. Just
that
would
have been a good one.
A burner, but yeah. All right, so last thing they did re-sign Jamison Crowder, which was a bit unexpected, I think. 32, I think he'll be this year. He's up there. 31, 32.
It's got to be a small I don't have the contract details.
Yeah, it's
for
a one-year small contract.
Yeah,
I mean,
so okay.
You're basically bringing him back in to be the punt return, kick returner, slot guy option.
Can we please make a plea to this coaching staff and this GM to find a freaking kicker, a returner? Whether it's Crowder wasn't that good last year. He was okay.
He was okay, yeah.
Yeah.
How many generations did they need to go without a legitimate punt returner?
I mean, look, if you're bringing Crowder back and saying, this is the guy you all got to beat, I'm fine with this.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Like, and I think that's kind of the intent here. He's a good, you know, he was drafted by the team. I'm happy he's back. And he was the only legit slot receiver they had last year. So, you know, like if that's his role and he's maybe the fourth receiver doing that for a season, I'm okay with it. Yeah. And I always liked Jameson Crowder just as a player, fun player to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had no problem with him. Yeah. I they've got a lot of money in the wide receiver group. So I don't think you're going to see any more big name wide receivers signed that they could draft somebody, I guess, but I don't think they're going to put too much. I think this group is kind of what it is.
It's a good draft class.
They could add like a Mike Williams from the Chargers, though.
That is not cheap, dude.
Watch the thing, though. He's probably going to do a 1-year deal with somebody because he hasn't been the staple of health either over the last several years either. So.
No, but he's not a small money guy.
No, but they got plenty of money, too.
Yeah, but they have a lot of money in the receiver group already.
Right.
They got 12, almost 13% of the cap now in receivers, and that's without current Kyler's contract.
I actually think they're also trying to save a lot of money to roll over into next year once they're like,
all right, we have our quarterback.
Let's figure out what he needs.
Let me do this real fast. Okay, but because I know we're at the end of the show here, so I updated everything I could with the salary cap. So right now they've got, I think I said we have 62 players under the cap. And so missing like seven guys who I don't have contract details with yet. Mm-hmm. They are now at $77 million under the rule of 51. And so if you throw in that next seven, that could be another $25 million, you know, total. Right. And so you're looking, you know, $52 million or so. And then you got to take out the draft picks, which is another about 13-ish. And so in round numbers, they've got maybe high 30s left.
High 30s, low 40s. Yeah.
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 Probably more like high 30s. So that's real. So they could still sign a bunch of players.
They could. Or
they're going to have to.
Yeah. They don't have to.
No, they have to. They've got 62 on the roster right now.
Oh, they have to sign bodies. Yes. But they don't have to. They could sign people for. Yes. The minimum, if they want to do it.
It sounds like they're kind of shaping up to be well under the cap.
Yeah. And I honestly think if your term is a long-term approach to building this thing through the draft and all that, like, don't spend money just to spend money. You know, like, if you want to sign one-year deals, I don't think it matters. But keep yourself in a good draft or a cap position for 2-3 years down the road should be the plan.
It kind of feels like adults are in charge for the first time in a while, doesn't it?
It feels like someone came into this with a game plan. Yes.
Yes. Really.
You know.
Yes, that's the biggest eye opener right there. A game plan.
Yeah.
I'm actually teary eyed every time I mention the word linebacker now too.
Because they actually signed two real linebackers.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think when McLuhan was there, he had a plan. It didn't necessarily work out all the time.
His plan was to drink as much scotch as he possibly could.
Well, yes, but he also was a guy who said, I want to build the lines, and we're going to focus on the draft first after that. He said, here's my plan. I like that. Bruce Allen came in, and he was already drunk, and he said, I'm remote the bottom.
I'm a football player. We need football players.
Yeah, football players. Yeah. Yeah.
We're close. You know what that means? We're close.
Yeah.
No, well, I don't know what that means.
That's what he said that one year, like multiple times. Yeah. Oh, it just means we're close.
Right. And then Ron Rivera was clueless. And
he was a horrible GM. Ron Rivera's the worst GM than he was a coach.
And we do have to give a begrudging. Doug Williams kind of was the GM for that one season and didn't really have a plan either.
There's a reason why Doug Williams is not the GM anymore, despite being a hero to millions.
They can't get rid of him, but
yeah,
Doug Williams,
he's kind of like that advisor, you know, role, quote unquote advisor.
I mean, look, I love Doug Williams. Like he's an important part of the history of the team.
Well, he's a history of the Washington Redskins, which is not this expansion team.
That is fair.
That is true.
But he comes with the furniture.
There's
certain guy. Anyone who's been in a large company knows certain guys come with the furniture.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah. If you're going to buy this, you got Doug coming along. Because you can't get rid of Doug, you know.
I'm pretty sure when Dan sold the team, he wrote it in.
Well, you look like you fired Doug Williams. You look like a butthead. You know, can't fire Doug Williams.
Exactly. It would be like coming in and wanting to fire Joe Gibbs right away or something.
Exactly. Joe Gibbs has got to go.
Yeah. Well, I guess Jerry did it to Tom Landry.
Tom Landry. Yeah, but everybody thought Jerry was a butthead for doing it.
That's true. And he does. He is kind of a butthead.
And he is a butthead. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So that kind of wraps up the
free agent spectacular.
Yeah. Busy season or off season so far.
We're going to keep our tracker up. We put a tracker up this week and kind of cut out a couple other posts just to kind of keep that going. So we will try to continue to update the tracker for the next couple of days, and then at some point we'll stop. But
just keeping track as I'm sure a lot of fans are, just like constantly checking social media to see what's new.
We thought we'd give you one stop shop.
Yeah, we'll put it. We keep updating it with that stuff.
I think you need to put up Wagner up there at the minimum, right, Alex?
I have already
Oh, you did? Okay.
I think I got Wagner in there. I'll double check.
Okay.
I realized we missed Chin this morning.
No, he was in there.
Was he?
Yeah, it's in there.
Okay, let me double check everything. Make sure we didn't have him in twice. It's a very long
We don't have a double chin, no.
Oh, now we got to leave him. All right, that should do it. All right, guys, we will see you all next week.
Bada bing.
All right, later.